I wanted to do this video right here because I tweeted this out yesterday because I got an tweet alert from Steven Crowder, and he posted why Alex Jones and I are anti-libertarian. So I don't know if he put that out just to get attention or to make waves or whatever, but this is the clip that he put out. So I just posted the clip that Steven Crowder posted, and then I just included it in a clip on my last video, or one of my last videos yesterday, on Grease Monkey Videos. But I wanted to talk about this because somebody challenged me and said, well, you took this out of context, which I didn't take it out of context. I just put it down in the context that Steven Crowder wanted to have his audience or potential viewers view it in. So I just said, either both of them have a fundamental misunderstanding of what libertarianism actually is, or they're intentionally misrepresenting it in order to promote the time-tested tribal Team Red versus Team Blue lie. And there is a time-tested Team Red versus Team Blue lie, which taps into our tribal instincts. We all have tribal instincts. So when I see, I just to let you know up front, to lay a little bit of groundwork for this video, when I think about the two-party system, I know, and you can know too, and probably a lot of people out there do know, and more should be aware of this, the two-party system is really a one-party system operating as two. And I like this depiction by Ben Garrison. It's the left boot of tyranny and the right boot of tyranny. It's the Republicrats and the Demoplicans. So the question is, what boot of tyranny do you want bearing down on your neck? Do you want the blue team Democrat boot of tyranny, or the red team Republican boot of tyranny? Because they're both boots of tyranny. This is how I see the two-party system, because this is the way the two-party system is. And it doesn't really matter if you add a third party to it, because of course it's going to be co-opted. Of course it's going to be used to further the globalist agenda. Is there a globalist agenda? Of course there is. To say that there's a globalist agenda doesn't mean you're a conspiracy theorist. It means you're a conspiracy realist. So this is what I see when I see the two-party system. And that's why I wanted to talk about this, because over here when I posted this on my Grease Monkey Videos channel, this is the clip from the 10-minute video. All I did was put up Steven Crowder's link that he put up on Twitter. And then somebody challenged me, and challenging is good, because challenging is how you grow. Having somebody come out and say, well, I think you took that whole thing out of context, which is what Bain Mahler says. He says, totally took Alex's assessment of libertarianism out of context. Now, I went back over it because I hadn't seen the entire clip from the 48-minute mark. I only saw the 60-second clip that Steven Crowder put down or tweeted out. But then when I looked at the entire thing in the full context, it made that 60-second clip even worse. It went against them even worse than it did in the 60-second clip. So he said, totally took Alex's assessment of libertarianism out of context. It deserves a true, honest analysis, because I, too, have come to a similar conclusion. Whether you did this because you agree or disagree, the wider concern he showed about how the whole movement has been co-opted with tech censorship, and we're talking about the whole libertarian movement is what he's talking about there, has been co-opted with tech censorship, transgenderism, illegal immigration, the Communist 1984 by George Orwell, being glaring marks against it. This is no longer the liberty movement I signed up for, because the result of the prevailing ideology is leading to tyranny unopposed. So my first question is, well, first of all, I don't disagree that the libertarian movement has been co-opted and infiltrated by people who are pushing the globalist agenda, just like the Republicans are pushing the globalist agenda, just like the Democrats are pushing the globalist agenda. But my point is, what is the kernel truth of libertarianism or libertarian ideologies? I said this was a clip provided by Steven Crowder himself on Twitter. That's why I included the entire Twitter post in his comment. In what context is saying why Alex Jones and I are anti-libertarian not a misrepresentation of what libertarianism actually is? He did not say why I'm against neo-libertarianism or co-opted libertarianism. He just says he's anti-libertarian. And that's what Crowder says right here. He says why Alex Jones and I are anti-libertarian. He doesn't qualify that. He doesn't qualify it at all. So that's why I'm doing this video, because I got challenged on it. Challenging is good. I equate challenging, like ideological challenging, to the physical realm, where if you want your muscle to grow, if you want your bones to become more dense and stronger, then you have to introduce them to resistance. So I look at challenging as resistance. I look at resistance as a good and necessary thing in order to grow. So I just want to just clarify, this is how I see the left versus right paradigm lie, because this is what it is. This is how it presents itself. And all you have to do is ask yourself a question. Do the policies that come out of the Republicans or Democrats align with securing individual liberties or taking them away? Do they align with keeping money in your pocket or removing money from your pocket? We know the answer to that question. So let me use it as the springboard. Just two quotes that these are two of my top favorite quotes from Samuel Adams. He said, "No people will tamely surrender their liberties," because this is what this is all about. We're talking about libertarianism. We're talking about liberty. We're talking about holding on to liberty while the tyrants try to take it. "Nor can any be easily subdued when knowledge is diffused and virtue is preserved." That is the top dog. Virtue is the top dog. I'm not talking about virtue signaling. I'm not talking about all these people who want to appear virtuous. I'm talking about being truly virtuous. Having principles, having morals, having a moral compass, and not veering from that compass. Because when you start doing that, then you get the two-party paradigm system. You have quantitative easing. You have Zio international bankers controlling the issuance and the value of your currency. On the contrary, when people are universally ignorant and debauched in their manners, they will sink under their own weight without the aid of foreign invaders. You don't need anybody helping you go down when you abandon virtue and you abandon morals. The other quote is, "A general dissolution of principles and manners." We're going to talk about principles. The foundations, the first things. What is a principle? It's you drill down to the foundation. You find the truth. That's what the principle is. It's an underlying truth that you got to dig for. And when you find it, you try to keep digging. You can't dig any further. It's the fundamental. It's the essential truth upon which you build your life. And you don't, not only do you not move from it, you anchor yourself to it. And you, it's a non-negotiable. When you have principles, you don't move from them. It doesn't matter what the excuses are. It doesn't matter what good things, you know, people are trying to say, when you move from principle and you become part of the two-party system, specifically in this case, you become a Republican, you become a conservative. Now we can do things. A principled person doesn't go, "Well, I guess it'll work." You go, he asks the question, is it right? Is it right to move from this? Is there something more right? Is there more digging that I should do? Because if this is the most right thing, if this is the highest moral ground, why would I move from it? Now, if I discover there is a more moral ground, then I'll take my anchor out and I'll put my anchor in that thing. But in order to become a part of the two-party system, you have to take your anchor out of principle. You have to take it, you have to remove it from truth. You have to veer away. You have to completely reconstruct your moral compass and go in an opposite direction. That's the problem that I have with the two-party system, and that's what governments do. They dehumanize you, they demoralize you, they divide you, and they conquer you. But they have to dehumanize you first. They have to demoralize you first. In other words, remove morals from you. That's the job of government. That's why we always say politics is the clever and deceptive art of using euphemisms, lies, emotionalism, and fear-mongering in order to dupe average people into accepting and even demanding the chains of their own enslavement. You don't demand the chains of your own enslavement if you're a principled person, because principled people realize, hey, I am on a plantation and they're just trying to give me a different plantation owner while they keep me on the plantation, making me think that I have the power to change the trajectory of my life by voting for a new plantation master. It doesn't work. It won't ever work. And we can see from history that it just leads to the ruin of the individual. You know what the smallest minority on the planet is? It's not black. It's not Hispanic. It's not Native American. It's the individual. That's the smallest minority on the planet, and that minority needs to be protected at all costs. In other words, the individual freedoms of that minority has to be protected. "A general dissolution of principles and manners will more surely overthrow the liberties of America than the whole force of the common enemy. While the people are virtuous, they cannot be subdued." There is no lie that they're going to fall for. There is no party they're going to vote for. There's no evil that they're willing to commit. There's no lesser of two evils they're willing to support. They're not going to do it because supporting the lesser of two evils is still supporting evil. But when once they lose their virtue, they will be ready to surrender their liberties to the first external or internal invader. So it's about principles. It's about morals. It's about true virtue. That is the only thing that would keep you from going to a banker-bought left versus right paradigm lie. Because you know what the truth is, and you know what morals are, you know what your principles are, and you're not willing to negotiate them for anything. So let's get into this video right here. I've got a couple snippets to play. I got a couple things to say about it. You know, there's a lot of people that say, well, Alex Jones is COINTELPRO. Steven Crowder's a shill. It doesn't matter to me if they're shills or not, or COINTELPRO or not. I'm just weighing this on the scale of, is what they said right? Is it rational? Is it reasonable? Is it in accordance with truth? I put the closed captions up there so you could actually see what they're saying, because in some parts of this, it's kind of difficult to hear what they're saying.
You were sort of self-identified as a libertarian for a long time. And I always said, I'm kind of small L libertarian. I don't do that anymore. And the reason is because you still have libertarians saying, well, the First Amendment only protects you from the government, not from corporations. But when you look at the, and I'm not talking about a conspiracy, just when you look at the 3. Whatever billion that Amex has gotten, let alone when you look at these banks, let alone when you look at the Section 230 protections for big tech, there's no longer a dividing line between corporations, a free market, which I support. These are effectively thug arms of the government, and libertarianism cannot stand up in the face of that.
I 100% agree with you. In fact, I'm no longer even a little L libertarian. I'm anti-libertarian, and I'll explain why. 30 years ago, when I was first starting to get on air, 25 years ago, Republicans were pretty bad news, wanted to censor everybody, had a lot of problems.
Right.
The left hadn't turned into this pro-pedophile, Satan worship cancer it is completely yet. So I didn't like them.
You just hit the trifecta. Go on.
So I thought, well, libertarians want to leave people alone socially, but they want a smaller government. They must be good. But it was big think tanks and big money-funding libertarians. So conservatives would always think of corporations as perfect and as government as bad, instead of it being a balance. And so now the globalists admit they were building governments basically run by corporations, or corporations so big they operate like governments, but way more efficient and way more authoritarian. And so absolutely, to see libertarians defend the censorship and defend the open borders and defend all this, well, yeah, if Mexico was on par with us and we had a functioning civilization, then you can have an agreement over the borders up. You can't when it's totally collapsed. That'll collapse us. And so, yeah, the libertarians are now just used to siphon off Republican votes and keep Democrats in power. And also learned over the years that most of your high-level libertarians are actually Democrats. And we now, they call them sleeper cells. Democrats have been caught on tape by Project Veritas and others, running as Republicans, also running as libertarians to siphon off votes. And so it'd be nice to have another party, but then we'd just be in a parliamentary system where Justin Trudeau gets 30% of the vote, but he's still in power. So I think of all the systems out there, our republic form with two parties is the best. What needs to happen is when one party becomes satanic and psychotic and dictatorial, that party is disbanded by just a political realignment. It fades away, and then the other party splits in two with the dividing forces, or a new party is formed.
Right.
And that's really what happened in the first 50 years of the country. It needs to happen again. The Democratic Party is trying to outlaw the Republican Party because it's trying to outlaw populism. Populism through Trump, populism through the grassroots, the Tea Party, is reproving the Republican Party, has a double-headed enemy of the rhino neocons and the Democrats to deal with, but over time, it's seen by the deep state and by Biden in his red blood, you know, Hitler speech, as the enemy, because it is Trumpism, not even all Trump's ideas, I have big problems with him, but what he mobilized, or what he rode in on as a surfer, that is what threatens the system. That's the American true populist opposition, and that's why the Democratic Party has declared war on it and says Homeland Security's main threat is populist Republicans, because that is how we take over the Republican Party and then revive the nation.
It's funny, you kind of came to it, there's a parallel, you sort of came in as a disc jockey, right? You're a host. I mean,
all right here they start talking about his gravelly voice and what happened to it, and he talks about his torn larynx, but we got to skip over here to 5304.
clips in 2008 on back when it was big Hollywood. But I remember I was surprised because I thought I was kind of a libertarian until I was at a dinner in D.C., as many of these dinners, you know, they exist. And I found that I want to say there was at least five, maybe six or seven people from Reason Magazine. And I was subscribed to Reason Magazine. And over half of them voted for Obama. And I said, well, hold on a second, what's going on here? I don't understand how, I understand if, I thought maybe they would stay home, you know, not vote at that point because of the lesser of two evils. But they actually voted for Obama because I said, even though with all of this that's happened, you know, change. And that's where I said, okay, if at this point in time, you know, Greg Gutfeld, Bill Maher, Glenn Beck, and these people at Reason Magazine all identify as libertarian, it doesn't really mean anything. And I think today it's kind of something that needs to be shed because, you can't say, hey, let's just all be fragmented when there's this Leviathan coming from the left. I mean, five companies control 90% of the information, and now you're talking about the banking. Visa,
well, you
MasterCard.
Just said it perfectly. The global megacorporations, the authoritarian, Great Reset, Klaus Schwab, New World Order, they are making their move through the Democratic Party. They see the Tea Party and Trumpism and all the rest of it as making a move of populism, so they put everything down the Democrats. The Democrats aren't hiding that they want to censor or arrest their political opposition or track everything we do and just sew it up. And so, yes, we're going towards Venezuela. Guaranteed, that's their admitted goal, bankrupt the country to bring us to our knees. And so, absolutely, the Libertarian Party is a cancer. In fact, I'm ashamed I was ever sucked in by it, but it was a different political landscape. I was the same. I'm more of a right-winger. I'm pro-gun, I'm pro-life, but I'm pro-free speech, and I'm anti-war. I didn't like George W. Bush and people. So I'm like, I don't like John McCain, so I'm not going to vote for John McCain or Barack Obama. And I went and protested Obama at the DNC and McCain at the RNC and almost got arrested at both. And I was trying to be, I'm a populist, I'm about ideas, transcend left-right paradigm. And then Obama got in and went against everything he said, and I wasn't naive, I knew it was bad, but he was so bad with racial division and so bad, you know, with putting horrible judges in, I went, okay, obviously I couldn't vote for McCain, but McCain was just a fill-up, you know, a filler. This was all rigged. Now we're in trouble. And then comes in Trump, and they're all against him. And he goes for the borders, and he goes for better trade deals. And, you know, he stands up on a lot of things. Bad move, I think, with his warp speed, but he's pigheaded, whatever. And so now they're in full panic mode because they understand that the right wing in America is populist, they're energized, and they know about the New World Order. And that's why the globals and the left hate me so much, is because they give me the credit more than anybody of energizing the Tea Party with an anti-New World Order system, which is really what it is. And so that's why I'm so hated, second most after Trump, is because they can trace back their think tanks that I had no idea how popular I was. I wasn't even looking at analytics or numbers or even caring. That, but when we went to the RNC in 2016 in Cleveland, and a third of the people were wearing InfoWars shirts, the system went, whoa, this guy's to blame. And so I wasn't Trump's brain, but I was the brain of radicalizing the populist right-wingers to become
anti- Let's use the word mobilizing. Don't use the word radicalizing. You trying to get me? You trying to get me in the? You're like the crab in the bucket, trying to pull me down with you, son of
a. No, I mean, I'm quoting what they said about me.
No, I know. No, I know, and you're exactly right.
No, you're right. I was successful at mobilizing them because I was reading these people's books before they were popular against the New World Order. I was mobilizing and energizing, but they had congressional hearings after Trump got elected, saying Jones is radicalizing people. He's dangerous. He's evil. And the truth was, I was radicalizing them in their view because all these liberals who were real liberals were now becoming Republicans, and all these libertarians were now becoming Republicans for Trump, and they could look at the numbers and tell we put Trump over the top because I was a real legitimate guy, not doing politicoing, not calculating polls. I was just really out there being real, and that's what helped took Trump over the finish.
Well, we'll go here to Mug Club,
and that is what took Trump over to the finish. So let's talk about some of this stuff. I wanted to run the entire thing all the way through so you could see the context of what I'm talking about. Now, Steven Crowder started this whole thing off by saying, I was a libertarian for a long time, and I always said I'm kind of a small L libertarian. First of all, What is libertarianism? I mean, you could say a lot of stuff about libertarianism. Has it been co-opted? Of course it has. That's what happens with these things. They get co-opted, they get corrupted, and all that kind of stuff. But the fundamental basis for libertarianism is the non-aggression principle, property rights. The state should be limited, which I got a problem with. That's called minarchism. So it's like, if the state is cancer, if the government is cancer, you really want limited cancer, or would you rather have no cancer? Because that's an option too. See, that's the problem with the two-party paradigm, is that they're like, oh, you only have two options. Even with a three-party, you only have three options. What about option number four? What about option number five? How about the option of not voting for the lesser of two evils because both of you are evil? And the other one is taxation is theft. These three things, non-aggression principle, property rights, and taxation is theft, is the fundamental building blocks of what makes up libertarianism. So when you have a Steven Crowder and Alex Jones saying that they're anti-libertarian, what part of libertarianism are you against? Are you against the non-aggression principle? That wouldn't be good. Are you against property rights? Are you against the idea that taxation is theft, or do you believe that Congress does have the power to lay and collect taxes through the government, the barrel of a government gun, which is extortion, which is the redistribution of wealth? Now, Steven Crowder says something later on, or maybe earlier on in this interview, that is absolutely true. The Convids 1984 thing was all about massive wealth and power redistribution. We've said that for years, ever since this thing came out. It's like, you just watch. This is going to be a huge transfer of wealth and power under the guise of keeping the general public safe or the general welfare. But when Steven Crowder says that he's a little L libertarian, what exactly does that mean? I don't even know what that means. Does that mean, is that kind of like, I'm a little H husband, I'm a little D dad, I'm a little F friend? Does that mean you're not fully committed to the principles of libertarianism? I don't even know what that means. So he said, I'm a kind of a small L libertarian. I don't do that anymore. And then he said, the reason is, and I'm quoting him, is you still have libertarians saying, well, the First Amendment only protects you from government, not from corporations. I don't know any true I was trying to rack my brain last night when I was watching this. I don't know any true libertarians that don't know that governments are corporations and corporations are government. So I don't know anybody who would say the First Amendment only protects you from government, not from corporations. When you look at Google Corporation, that is government. When you look at Facebook, I call it Fedbook because that's what it is. That is government. They got their power from the government. They were infiltrated by the government. It's like same thing with mainstream media. I call it governed media. We already know from the Church Commission back in the early 70s, Frank Church exposed the fact that the CIA had infiltrated all of print and all of televised media back in the 70s. Do you think it's better now? Do you think there are less CIA agents? Do you think there are less NSA operatives at work on social media and mainstream media trying to spy on you? I would say you have your head in the sand if you believe that they have less influence on fake stream and social media. He says, but when you look at 3 point whatever billion that Amex has gotten, let alone when you look at these banks, let alone when you look at the Section 230 protections for big tech, there's no longer a dividing line between companies and a free market, which I support, Crowder says. I'm still quoting Crowder. These are effectively thug arms of the government. Steven Crowder calls corporations thug arms of the government. No duh. That's exactly what they are. And that's why libertarians, especially who follow Ludwig von Mises or Hayek or any of these Austrian economists and their writings, they already know that government is corporation and corporation is government. They are merged, and effectively they are thug arms of the government doing the bidding of the government. So I don't know what he's talking about libertarians saying that the First Amendment only protects you from government and not from corporations, because I don't know any libertarian who doesn't have the fundamental understanding that governments are corporations and corporations are government. And then Jones says, I 100% agree with you. In fact, I'm no longer even a little L libertarian. I'm anti-libertarian, and I'll explain why. He says, 30 years ago when I was first starting to get on air, Republicans were pretty bad news. Wanted to censor everybody. Had a lot of problems with the right and the left. The left hadn't turned into this pro-pedophile, Satan-worshipping cancer it is completely yet, so I didn't like them. Let me ask you a question. Is the Democratic Party cancer? Yes, we've seen it. We've seen their policies. We've seen them advance toward Agenda 21 and now Agenda 2030. Is the Republican Party a party of cancer? Absolutely. They're both cancer representatives. They're appealing to different demographics of people, but both of them are saying you only have two choices, Republican or Democrat. Choose now, your vote voice. And then they put you into this false dichotomy, this false choice, this illusion of choice. If you're voting for a plantation master, at the end of the day, your butt is still parked on the plantation, and now you've participated in the evil system by asking for evil to come upon your neighbor in the form of, I want Democrats controlling you against your will and without your consent. Or the other side going, I want Republicans to control you without your, you know, against your will and without your consent. So Alex Jones says, so conservatives would always think of corporations as perfect and as government as bad instead of it being a balance. And so now the globalists admit that they were building governments basically run by corporations or corporations so big they operate like governments. Still quoting, all this is quoting Alex Jones and Steven Crowder. But way more efficient and way more authoritarian. And so obvious, absolutely, I see libertarians defend the censorship and defend the open borders and defend all this. Well, yeah, if Mexico is on par with us and we had a functioning civilization, then you can have an agreement over borders. If you can't, let's totally collapse. That'll collapse. So what he's saying is, I see libertarians defending censorship. I don't know any libertarian who's defending any kind of censorship. If they are, they're not really libertarians. Because censorship is violence, and one of the key components of libertarianism is non-aggression. Basically, you're forcing somebody to be silent when they don't want to. You're forcing them to not speak when other people want to hear you speak. That's violence. That's a violation of the non-aggression principle. So it looks like, I don't know if they're intentionally doing this. That's not something I want to deal with in this video, but it looks like they're setting up a straw man. It literally looks like something that they're fabricating so that they could easily knock it down in this conversation, this interview, with nobody to rebut it. So let me quote Alex Jones again. He said, yeah, the libertarians are now just used to siphon off Republican votes and keep Democrats in power. What did he just promote there? He just promoted the tribalistic team red, team blue. You got to vote red. You got to be a conservative or this whole thing's going to collapse. Guys, was there more of a collapse anywhere in the history of American politics than under Trump from 2020 to 2022? You had businesses closing down. You had billions of dollars being funneled from the pen of Donald Trump to the big pharma corporations that don't care about you. Remember, when you're voting for Team Red, when you're voting for Donald Trump, you're voting for Rothschild's Inc. Because back in the 90s, they bailed Trump out to the tune of tens, hundreds, almost some would say over $1 billion. They bailed Trump out. Rothschild's Inc. under Wilbur Ross bailed Trump out because he got underwater with Taj Mahal and a whole bunch of other bad investments. So who controls Trump? If those banksters, if the Rothschild's Inc. bank bailed out Trump, who's in control of Trump? Well, you know by his policies, because he put his pen to the paper and signed 6.2. They said it was 2.2. It's $6.2 trillion transfer of wealth. One of the most massive transfer of wealth in under one signature. The most. Was there ever a transfer of wealth greater than $6.2 trillion? And yet Trump put his pen to it and signed it over. And who did it go to? Most of it went over to the big pharma industrial complex and the military industrial complex. The military industrial complex was never so beefed up as under the executive oversight of Donald J. Trump. He increased the military-industrial complex. He bolstered the red flag laws. He shut down America. He called himself the father of the VAXX and initiated Operation Warp Speed. Is that somebody who sounds like he's on your side? What, before he became president, he was calling for quantitative tightening. In other words, tell the Federal Reserve to stop printing so much money and devaluing our dollar. When he became president, he called for quantitative easing. And why did he do that? Because he became the mouthpiece of the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve wants quantitative easing. They want money printing. They want to devalue your dollar because the more they devalue it, the more they control you, the more they control your time and labor. So don't tell me, Alex Jones, that libertarians are now just, you know, siphoning off Republicans votes to keep Democrats in power. Republicans are Democrats. Democrats are Republicans. Corporations are governments. Governments are corporations. I don't know what part of this that people don't understand. It's amazing to me. It's almost like, and I don't know if they're intentionally doing this again, it's almost like Alex Jones and Steven Crowder are gatekeeping for a particular demographic that wants to control everybody. And keep them controlled and keep Americans in the hamster wheel of the politics, the political left versus right paradigm lie. It looks like that's what they're doing. Are they doing it intentionally? Are they doing it accidentally? I don't think these two guys are stupid. I don't think these two guys are misinformed. I think these two guys are, they appear very intelligent. They appear like they got their finger on the pulse of what's going on, and yet they say this kind of stuff. This is damning to a country. This will poke more holes in a ship that's already sinking. Alex Jones says, quote, and also learned over the years that your most high level libertarians are actually Democrats. And we know, and they call them sleeper cells. Democrats have been caught on tape by Project Veritas and others running as Republicans, also running as libertarians. So if you're going to abandon libertarianism, like Steven Crowder said, because the libertarians have been infiltrated, then why wouldn't you use that same logic to abandon Republicans, the Republican Party? None of this makes any sense to me. So talking about siphoning off votes, and here's another quote from Alex Jones. He said they were caught on tape by Project Veritas and others running as Republicans, also running as libertarians to siphon off votes. And so it'd be nice to have another party, but then we just begin a parliamentary system where Justin Trudeau gets 30% of the votes, but he's still in power. So I think of all the systems out there, a Republican form with two parties is the best. I want to show you this. This is at 49:59. I want to show you this. I want to show you him saying this, because this is the core right here. This is the crux of the issue.
Now there's running as Republicans, also running as libertarians to siphon off votes. And so it'd be nice to have another party, but then we'd just be in a parliamentary system where Justin Trudeau gets 30% of the vote, but he's still in power. So I think of all the systems out there, our republic form with two parties is the best.
Of all the parties that are out there, our republic form with two parties, the two-party paradigm system, guys, this party right here, this two-party system right here. It's so he's saying the best we can do is the left boot of tyranny on your neck or the right boot of tyranny on your neck. And you got to make a choice because it's your vote, your voice. He sounds just like mainstream media, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Why is it so important for them to tell you to get out there and vote? Put your ballot in the box, in the slave suggestion box, because they, mainstream media, fake stream CIA infiltrated Operation Mockingbird, MK Ultra Media, and the government and the Republican Party and the Democrat Party want you to throw your lot of support in with them as you promote and support evil, because that dehumanizes you, that demoralizes you. And then they can look back and go, well, you voted for it. You voted for it. You participated in an evil system, and you actually said with your own lips, well, I don't agree with everything, but I'm going to choose the lesser of two evils. That's what they do. They force you into this box, and then it violates this right here. Or actually, I don't know, it fulfills the prophecy. A general dissolution of principles and manners will more surely overthrow the liberties of America than all the force of the common enemy. While the people are virtuous, in other words, while the people recognize evil and will never vote for it, even if it's a lesser of two evils, While the people are virtuous, while they're principled, while they have a moral compass, they cannot be subdued. See, the oligarchs know how to subdue you, and how they do it is they demoralize you first. They get you to move away from principle, move away from morals, move away from everything that is just and right and wholesome and good and noble. And cast your lot in with us. Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, it doesn't matter, because every vote is a vote for us. Every vote tells us you're still participating in the evil system that we set up. And as long as you continue to participate, you're in with us. You're behind us. You're supporting us. I want Trump. I want McCain. I want Obama. I want Clinton. I want him to rule us. Because it's not enough for them to add for the peasants. It's not enough for the overlords to have the peasants ask. They want you begging. They want you begging for a plantation manager or a plantation owner. They want you begging for it. When once they lose their virtue, then they'll be ready to surrender their liberties to the first external or internal invader. Let's just put it, when once they lose their virtue, then they'll be ready to surrender their liberties to the Republicans or the Democrats. And then this other quote, and this is why I went over these quotes before. No people will tamely surrender their liberties. Guess what? That's exactly what you're doing when you participate in the voting process. You're tamely surrendering your liberties. Because you think you were duped into believing that's the only choice we got. I'm tamely surrendering my liberties, nor can any be easily subdued when knowledge is diffused. What knowledge should be diffused? The knowledge that both parties are working for the same team owners. Yeah, it looks like two teams and they wear two different color uniforms, but at the end of the day, they're under the same ownership of the same team owner. With the same agenda, the same objectives. Are there little things different here? You know, Democrats are against borders. Republicans are for borders. Republicans are pro-family. Democrats are anti-family. You got to have that two-party system. You got to have that protagonist and antagonist. You got to have that WWE villain versus the hero, because it works. Make them think they got a choice, so that when they put their form in the ballot box, they're still calling for the chains of their own oppression and their neighbor's oppression, so they're participating in evil with us, says the tyrants who control everything. That's what Samuel Adams is saying. These people are freaking smart. When knowledge is diffused and virtue is preserved. So you can't be subdued when you're knowledgeable and you're not ignorant. And when virtue is preserved, you don't move from the bedrock, from the foundation of what is right and noble and good and just. On the contrary, when people are universally ignorant, I don't even know what's going on. I don't know. I just seems like I identify with Team Republican, Team Red. Seems like I have conservative values over, you know, this is the menu that they've given us. They said poop soup or turd sandwich, and I think I identify more with the poop soup. It seems more palatable. I know there's bad stuff in it, but, you know, poop soup just appeals to me. And then the other people are like, forget that, man. I'm on board with the turd sandwich. What kind of choice is that? What kind of menu is that? You would not order just because you were given two choices. You'd be like, I'm out of this. I'm out of here. I'm not going to participate in the menu in this restaurant right here. You think I want E. coli in my system? Poop soup and turd sandwich is going to achieve that goal. I'm going to have E. coli in my system and I'll probably die. On the contrary, when people are universally ignorant and debauched in their manners, oh boy, do we see that, debauched in their manners. Look at how people bow down and fawn over Biden. Look how they bow down and fawn over Trump. Look how they bow down and prostrate themselves over a dead, you know, lizard person over there across the pond. It's disgusting. It's like, do you have any kind of morals at all? Do you really want your children seeing you standing in a miles long line so you can see a dead monarch who siphoned your time and laboring energies away from you and your children and your grandchildren? You really think that lady cared about you? Look at her family. What were they involved in? Flying on Jeffrey Epstein's plane and going to Pedo Island and doing all the crap that we know that they've done, and no investigation into Ghislaine Maxwell's book. They're all in on it together, guys. Yeah, Clinton was on Lolita Express, but so was Trump. Yeah, there was a friendship with Bill Clinton and Jeffrey Epstein, but Trump did too. Did he distance himself later? Yeah, he did. But my gosh, what kind of things were they involved in? But oh, if you're Team Red, that my guy can do no wrong. He must be playing 5D chess. That's got to be what it is. There must be something that I'm just not understanding here. That's what they want you to think about that. If you're debauching your manners, you'll sink under your own weight without the aid of foreign invaders. And the oligarchs know that. The oligarchs know that. Does Steven Crowder and Alex Jones know that? I don't know. This is so crazy. Alex Jones says, quote, what needs to happen when one party becomes satanic and psychotic and dictatorial, that party is disbanded by just a political realignment. It fades away, and then the other party then splits into two with dividing forces, or a new party is formed. And that's really what happened in the first 50 years of this country. It needs to happen again. The Democrats are trying to outlaw the Republican Party because it's trying to outlaw populism. Populism through Trump, through the grassroots, the Tea Party, is reproving the Democrat Party, and it has a double-edged sword, double-edged-headed enemy of the Rhino. Rhino being Republican in name only. So it's interesting what Steven Crowder says for the reason that he left libertarianism is because five, six, maybe seven people from Reason Magazine, over half of them voted for Obama. So he abandons libertarianism because five, six, maybe seven people, and the people that he named was Greg Gutfeld, Glenn Beck, Bill Maher. These people abandon libertarianism and voted for Obama. Therefore, Steven Crowder goes, so I abandon libertarianism. Because they abandoned libertarianism and went for Obama, I went ahead and abandoned libertarianism. Because I thought maybe they would stay home, you know, and not vote at that point because of the lesser of two evils. But they actually voted for Obama because even though with all this that's happened, change, you know, the change you can believe in. And that's where I say, okay, if at this point in time, you know, Greg Gutfeld, Bill Maher, Glenn Beck, and these people at Reason Magazine all identify as libertarian, it doesn't really mean anything. And I think today it's kind of something that needs to be shed because you can't say, hey, let's just all be fragmented. And then he says, when there's this Leviathan coming from the left, I mean, five companies control 90% of the information. And now you're talking about, banking with Visa. And what they were talking about right before this was Visa, MasterCard, American Express are all going to have this code so that when you go to a gun shop and you buy a gun or you buy ammo, it's going to send an alert to the authorities, and then they can investigate you because maybe you're stockpiling weapons for the next, you know, what kind of, you know, pew-pew at a public school. So Steven Crowder says there's this Leviathan coming from the left. I mean, the Leviathan was formed by what? By the Democrat Party and by the Republican Party. And the Leviathan kept growing exponentially no matter what party was in the White House, no matter what party controlled Congress, no matter what persuasion was on the bench at the black robe tyrants of the Supreme Court. It didn't grow under the fundamentals of libertarianism, the first of which is the non-aggression principle, because if they followed the non-aggression principle, there's no way the Leviathan would ever have been unleashed. And again, am I saying that I'm supporting, all of libertarianism because there are a lot of shades of it? No, I would not support minarchism, which means, you know, we need a little bit of government. We need a little bit of cancer. We need a little bit of the Leviathan, because as we've seen from the last 240 something years of history, when you have a constitutional republic, look what we've got now. How could we possibly be $31 trillion in debt following the non-aggression principle? You wouldn't. The only way you can be $31 trillion in debt is by abandoning the free market, abandoning the non-aggression principle, abandoning the principles of libertarianism, which says nobody has the higher claim over your life and property than you. You couldn't be $31 trillion in debt. It amazes me the simplicity of the truth of what the non-aggression principle is all about, and what, you know, property rights are all about, and individual rights, and taxation is theft. It amazes me how quickly people like this abandon that and say, hey, if we'd have gone with the libertarians, we'd have this corrupt system. So they say, abandon libertarianism and let's just go ahead and participate in the corrupt system. But they never stop and go, wow, that's pretty hypocritical. He abandoned libertarianism because 5, 6, maybe 7 people abandoned libertarianism to vote for Obama. And then he uses that as the justification to be a conservative. Well, why wouldn't you abandon conservatism because of war hawk John McCain? Why wouldn't you abandon conservatism with the advent of Operation Warp Speed? Why wouldn't you look at that and go, holy Operation Warp Speed? Donald Trump calls himself the father of the VAXX. I can't be a part of this. But instead, he says, I can't be a part of libertarianism because these 5 guys have voted for Obama. But he doesn't say, I'm going to abandon the Republican Party because this guy started Operation Warp Speed. It's such hypocrisy, guys. Amazing, astounding hypocrisy. And then later on in the interview we just saw, Alex Jones says the Libertarian Party is cancer. Okay, if the Libertarian Party is cancer, how is the Republican Party not cancer? He'll freely say the Democrat Party is cancer. He'll freely say Libertarian Party is cancer. But guys, how, if you look at the Republican presidents, if you look at Ronald Reagan, first president to institute an assault weapons ban, Ronald Reagan. Jacked up the national debt like no one before him, Ronald Reagan. Saying that he was pro-gun and yet wants to take away, fully automatic firearms. He was the governor during that whole Black Panther event where they all freaked out and they made that law, which I think Terry V. Ohio was one of them that sprang from that, saying we can't have these people going to the Capitol grounds with fully automatic or any kind of firearm. We got to put a kibosh on that. That was then Governor Ronald Reagan. He signed on to the assault weapons ban even after he was president. He was like, yeah, I fully support the assault weapons ban. First of all, what the hell is an assault weapon? And second of all, why the heck do you want to ban it? Because when you ban something, an inanimate object, you're actually criminalizing somebody who owns that object. It's astounding. And then Alex Jones has the gall to say at 5504, I am a populist. I'm about ideas that transcend the left-right paradigm. And then Obama got in. He's promoting the left right paradigm. Steven Crowder is promoting the left-right paradigm. And the left-right paradigm is how we got $31 trillion into debt, not counting unfunded liabilities, which now it's over $165 trillion. Guys, that is an astronomical amount of money. There are 4 Republican presidents that don't say anything about the Federal Reserve. They don't abolish the IRS. That shows those 2 inactions by any president shows that they are not for the American people. Because what they're saying is, oh, I don't want the American people to have sound money where when they save it, it accumulates in value. I want them to have dishonest money where when they save it, they get penalized. Oh, I want every American to be stressed out of their minds every April because they have to report to the IRS, the biggest domestic terrorist cell on American soil. If you have those 2 pieces of inaction coming from any president, I don't care if it's Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, that's all you need to know about how they feel about individual freedoms and Americans on American soil. They don't give a damn about you. Because if they did, and they were really the commander in chief, and they were really the ruler or the leader of the free world, they would have done something about it. Either they're not the leader of the free world, they're not the commander in chief of the armed forces, or they are, and they just don't care. I mean, you can't have both. Either you're the leader of the free world and you're like, I'm abolishing the IRS because I have the power. Executive order, abolish the IRS. 3 words. That's all. I'm under the authority vested in me by whatever. Abolish the IRS. Done. And guess what? Everybody would be on his side. Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians, they would all be on that president's side because that president did something no other president was willing to do. Get the monkey of the domestic terror cell, the IRS, off your back. Why doesn't anybody do it? Why doesn't anybody ask that question? Next, we're going to institute sound money. I know we may go through some economic chaos here, but at the end of the tunnel in about 10 years, you'll actually have money that is of value. Kind of like this money right here. Look, you want sound money? They're like, you never come up with a solution. Here's your solution to dishonest money. It's called gold backs. I'm holding in my hand real gold. Look at this. Let's see if I can put it up on the screen. You want sound money? There you go. The gold backs. This is literally 1/20th of an ounce, a troy ounce of 24 karat gold. This is real gold. It's durable. It's divisible. It's fungible. It's portable, and it meets all the requirements of real money, and it's gold, unearthed from the crust of the earth, taking real labor from real individuals to bring it to market and then produce it like this. You can wash it. You can bend it. You can do whatever you want to with it. There you go. What's the answer to fiat currency? What's the answer to currency by edict? What's the answer to getting away from the Zio International Banking Cartel and unsound money? The answer is sound money. And we could all do it. And it comes in denominations of 50. Here's the lowest denomination right here. And they could probably make lower. This is 1/1000th of a troy ounce of 24 karat gold in $1 form. And it's beautiful. It fits in your wallet just like regular money. It's beautiful. This is 1/20th of a troy ounce of 24 karat gold. This is 1/1000th. You got other denominations. Look at this. You got your fives. There's your five. And they're all serialized too. So you can't duplicate it. As a matter of fact, it's impossible to duplicate this. It's impossible. You can duplicate, you can counterfeit. You know, I don't have any fiat here on my desk. You can easily counterfeit fiat. You can't easily counterfeit this. So it's all serialized and everything. We can do it. People are doing it. This is recognized in 3 states, Utah, Nevada, and I can't remember the other state. Voluntary local currency. You guys see that? See where it says voluntary local currency? You want a new life? Then you have to get rid of central banking. Central banking is wrecking your life. And how are they wrecking your life? Because they're controlling the issuance of your currency. They control the value of it. Therefore, they control your time and your labor. So that when you save those fiat currency notes, inflation eats it away. Inflation is the hidden tax. And you know what? It's not about being pragmatic and going, well, it's never going to work. It's about, but is it right? It's not going to work. Is it right? Is it right or wrong? Is it good or evil? Is it just or unjust? Those are the decisions we have to make. And that's why I got an issue with this right here, because they're actually leading you down the sheep cage of the left versus right paradigm lie. Here's Alex Jones' quote. I wasn't naive. I knew it was bad, but he was so bad with radical division. Oh, talking about Obama. So bad, you know, with putting horrible judges in. I went, okay, obviously I couldn't vote for McCain, but McCain was just a fill-up, you know, a filler. He was a filler. It was all rigged. Now we're in trouble. And then comes in Trump, and they're all against him, and he goes for the borders, and he goes for better trade deals. You know, he stands up on a lot of things. Bad move, I think, with this warp speed, but he's pig-headed, whatever. And so now they're this populist. They're energized, and you know, about the new world order. And that's why the globalists and the left hate me so much. It's because they gave me credit for more than anybody energizing the Tea Party with an anti-new world order system, which is really what it is. So he pats himself on the back as being the person who energizes the Tea Party, but he's willing to give Trump grace for Operation Warp Speed, even though Operation Warp Speed shows you that he's nothing more, nothing less than a bankster puppet plugged in, a marionette hanging from the bankster strings. And these two guys right here want you to go for the left versus right paradigm lie. That's what I got a problem with. And so the 60-second clip I originally put up on my Twitter page, my Twitter feed right here, when you look at the context of the entire thing, it's far worse than the 60-second clip, because they go into detail about how they abandon the fundamentals of libertarianism to plug into the two-party tyranny system, and they want you to do the same thing, because if we exercise another option, it just isn't going to work. I wanted to keep this video below 1 hour, so I think we've accomplished that. If you guys enjoy these videos, subscribe, hit the bell notification icon, give it a thumbs up, share it with everybody you know. If you disagree with anything that I said, if it wasn't in concert with the fundamentals of liberty, with truth, with logic, then I want to hear about it in the comment section below. I don't mind being challenged on things. How would it work? That's not the question. Is it right? That is the question. If it's right, we should do it because it's right. No other reason needs to be involved. No other reason. Just so happens doing the right thing ends up working, but you don't want to come at it from a pragmatic stance. You want to come at it from a righteous stance, because that's the principled position. All right, guys, thanks for joining me. Please subscribe, share these videos with everybody you know. It really helps out the channel. I will see you guys in the next video.